Well, thank you for your company this morning. 131873 is the open line number. Now, as you know, on Tuesday, the Prime Minister, under pressure from his backbench, ordered a review into this so-called Safe Schools initiative. It's being billed ostensibly as a program designed to reduce bullying of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex students. Although a number of people, and I have to say myself included, are a little curious as to whether that's indeed the actual purpose of this, or in fact if it goes from being educative to rather something a little more akin to advocative, if I can put it that way, and whether it's appropriate, particularly for students at the age of 11 and 12, to be made aware of or given lessons concerning a lot of these issues in schools. Well, I think it's fair to say one of the leading sceptics around all of this is the Liberal Senator Corey Bernardi, and it's thanks in part to a petition that he managed to organise that the Prime Minister has at least ordered the Education Minister, Mr Birmingham, to review this program. It does come at a cost, $8 million over 4 years, the Safe Schools Initiative, and I've got Senator Corey Bernardi on the phone. Corey, thank you for giving us some time.
It's my pleasure, Michael. Good to be with you.
I think a lot of people would agree that a program like this, which, of course, Penny Wong was the initial funder of in her role as the finance minister, and the coalition government was the party that brought it into being in 2014, it should be reviewed. There are great concerns around what exactly Safe Schools is all about.
Well, there are many concerns because this is dressed up as an anti-bullying initiative, which is a worthy aim for any school and any government to pursue. But it moves far beyond that. It goes into the realm of advocacy. I think it goes into the realm of bullying in itself and indoctrination. And basically, it forces children to accept or imagine themselves as living the gay lifestyle or engaging in same-sex relationships. And I just think this is entirely age inappropriate when it's targeted at 10, 11-year-olds, preschoolers. One of the booklets that is produced and referenced by this program is actually designed to encourage 4-year-olds to imagine that they're, you know, transgender. And it doesn't matter about the type of genitals they have, they can be whatever or whomever they want to be. And these people who are behind this program want that to be read to children in class by teachers. They want children to tackle teachers and hold them to account if they don't uphold the doctrines of this manual. And I think it's completely at odds with where most parents expect our primary school teaching and educative lessons to be focused.
Sure. Okay. Now, I think one of the issues involved here which people are concerned about is indeed who is behind the so-called Safe Schools Coalition, which individuals, what qualifications do they have to be putting curricula together in a school around such a sensitive issue? I mean, who are these people behind this?
Well, there's a range of people, and not all of them are public, of course, but one lady, Ros Ward, who is an author of the All of Us teaching resources, and she's the coordinator of the Safe Schools Coalition in Victoria, where this program is going to be made mandatory by the Andrews government. She spoke at last year's Marxism conference about what she regards as the cultural and social norms that capitalists are imposing on society, thereby, and I quote, stifling sexual freedoms. You know, she basically goes around saying that capitalism continues to benefit from oppressing our bodies, our relationships, our sexuality and gender identities. She says it's responsible for homophobia and transphobia, and it's designed to break the spirits of ordinary people to consume our thoughts, to accept the status quo. And then she goes on to say it almost forces us to live in small units and families where we must reproduce and take responsibility for those people in those units. Imagine the great horrors that this woman is envisaging because families are encouraged to reproduce and take responsibility for their offspring. Now, this is the Marxists' worst nightmare, not having the state responsible for the offspring, which is what they're trying to do through this program, but allowing parents to actually have some input into how their children are raised.
So there's a lot of politics going on here. I mean, this is, I suppose, where people do question whether this is really all ostensibly about anti-bullying. No one's in favour of bullying anywhere, be they straight, gay, fat, thin, redhead, blackhead, whatever. and no one's in favour of homophobic acts or transphobic acts or what have you. But I suppose the question here, isn't it, Senator Bernardi, is how do you address this in schools in an appropriate way, and at what age level do you start to kick in? A lot of people are concerned that many of the focuses of this program target 11 and 12-year-olds, which seem far too young to fully comprehend, indeed, what it is they're being exposed to.
That's exactly right, Michael, and I think that everyone I know and everyone, you know, every parent doesn't want their children to be a part of bullying or a recipient of bullying behaviour. But, you know, if we're targeting anti-bullying, we need to do it across the board, and it doesn't matter whether it's targeted at, you know, transgender kids or same-sex attracted kids or fat kids or thin kids or kids that are too tall or too short or different coloured skin. It's wrong, and, you know, there should be that ethic of reciprocity, if you will, a golden rule, do unto others as you do want done unto you. Now, that's how it should be established, and then as the children age and come to grips with, you know, more difficult intrapersonal relationships or circumstances, then you can introduce more specific programs targeted to what is age-appropriate levels. And, you know, it might well be that at 15 we should be talking to children about sexuality rather than just reproduction, if that's necessary, but it should be done with parental consent, and it shouldn't be done through the coercive and intimidatory techniques that this Safe Schools Coalition program implements.
I mean, we hear tangential to this, of course, and you would know all about this, around the pending plebiscite on gay marriage, that a lot of people who say it's not needed don't look at the economic argument. They simply say, if you do have a plebiscite, that is, if everybody gets to basically have their say on the in the public forum on this issue, it could be negative and dangerous because there'll be a lot of name-calling and a lot of bullying going on and some stereotyping, and that'll be damaging. But, of course, well, you copped a name going through the corridors of Parliament yesterday. I mean, it does sometimes take two to dance that particular two-step, doesn't it? I mean, Bill Shorten called you a homophobe. If you have a plebiscite on a tangential issue to this, both sides can be equally guilty of pointing fingers and calling names, I suppose. And it does make the argument that we shouldn't have the plebiscite because it could get a little dirty a bit redundant, doesn't it?
Well, Michael, the plebiscite's coming about because, you know, there have been, I think, 16 bills dealing with redefining the Marriage Act come before the Parliament. None of them have been passed. None of them have been successful. And yet the bills keep coming. And so if the Parliament, the advocates for changing marriage won't accept the parliamentary outcome, we've got to find another circuit breaker. But you're quite right about the name-calling. And, you know, words and pejorative slurs like homophobe, bigot, racist are all designed and used by the left to shut down any conversation. Because, yes, you know, I'm not homophobic. I don't have an irrational fear or hatred of homosexuals at all. But what I'm concerned about as a parent and as someone representing, I think, a great many parents, is that materials put in our schools should be dealing with facts, firstly, and there are a lot of errors in this program. But secondly, they should be age-appropriate materials. And thirdly, parents should be asked about giving consent for this sort of stuff, because this will, in the words of one psychiatrist, prove negative or have negative impacts for some children, whilst it may benefit a few. And, you know, ultimately, Bill Shorten today, it takes two to tango, I've got to tell you that, and I probably was intemperate in calling him a fraud, but, you know, his response, I thought, was completely belittling and unbecoming of a person who wants to be the next Prime Minister of Australia, because not only did he call me a homophobe because I disagree with him on the facts and the merits of a program that he supported, but he's called tens of thousands of Australian parents homophobes as well, simply because they're concerned about the well-being for their children.
But it is the default position of those on the other side of the political spectrum, as you point out, usually of the left, to straight away go to the name call. And yet, at the same time, they point the finger at people like us and say, well, if we open up, for example, the same-sex marriage debate to the public forum, to a plebiscite, it could get nasty because you guys could start calling us names. But the hypocrisy is pretty clear, isn't it?
Well, it's true. And it's you know, from the Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, if you go back to that, that if you're losing an argument, call someone an ism or a phobe or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's designed to shut down debate. And don't listen to him because he's a homophobe. Well, you know, I would say to Bill Shorten and his ilk, and the Greens are responsible for this too, why don't you actually engage on the substance of the debate, the discussion of the materials under review, and, you know, have a serious think about it, and maybe, just maybe, you can take your ideological blinkers off and say, is this really in the best interest of every family in this country? And you know what? 11,000-odd schools in this country, only 495 have picked up this program. Many of them are rejecting the more extreme elements of it, and that sort of suggests to me that, you know, school principals and parents and teachers recognise there are a great many dangers associated with this program.
Just looking then, politically speaking, Corey Bernardi, it's so often left up to you and a few others on the backbench of the coalition to defend the conservative element of society. Why is that when the Liberal Party is ostensibly in the Nationals as well, we're told, the conservative political force, yet the current education minister really seems fairly comfortable with this same schools program operating in state schools and in independent schools? I don't think he was that keen for a review himself. So why is it always up to you to sort of fight the good fight?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you've got to have the stomach for it. And, you know, I've been through some battles in my time in politics, and there's no blood left to draw. I'm just a big ball of scar tissue from all the knives and all the things that have been plunged into me. But I truly feel that speaking up for common sense, mainstream political values and conservatism, which is, you know, after all, the building block from which, you know, we've all stemmed. It's the generations of experience about which we try and improve upon. And I reject radical social agendas and radical economic agendas because they have consequences which I think are obvious to conservatives. But in the face of this juggernaut, not many people are prepared to stand up to it. And I feel that that's my mission in public life. I came into parliament and politics to do some stuff, not to be someone, and I'm going to continue to do the stuff that I think is really important.
Well, I thank you for giving us some time this morning on the program. It is nice to catch up, and I think a lot of people out there listening would see the common sense approach of a review into this rather controversial, contentious program. And, well, let's see what the review finds. Senator Corey Bernardi, for your time, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Good morning to you.